The text is the gospel reading from Mark. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Here ends our text. You know the expression, "a penny for your thoughts." It means a person is interested in what you're thinking. Well, the leper in our text brings up some interesting things to think about. So I offer you a leper for your thoughts. The first thing he brings to mind is the cry, "dead man walking." That's what sounds out as a condemned man is escorted to his execution. Leprosy was a certain death sentence in the ancient world. Someone had said that it was death, but with full consciousness of life. The Bible supports that view. When Miriam is struck with leprosy for rebelling against Moses, Aaron describes her as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed. Furthermore, the cleansing to restore a healed leper used the same things as was used for the cleansing of one defiled by a dead body or anything pertaining to death. Cedar, hyssop, and scarlet were never used on any other occasion but death and leprosy. However, you miss the point of the leprosy laws, especially the ones about excluding them, if you think leprosy is highly contagious. It's not now and was not then. Medicine would tell you this today. The Bible shows you this by the fact that where the laws of Moses were not observed, no exclusion took place. Naaman the leper commanded the Syrian army. Even where Mosaic law was kept, the stranger or the pilgrim was expressly excluded from the ordinances related to leprosy. If the reason for the leprosy laws were medical, this would not have been the case. The laws pertaining to leprosy were not medical. They were spiritual. They were to teach what you already know. Sin defiles, contaminates, and eventually kills, and there is no escaping it. I had a Sunday school teacher in Louisiana who used to teach this to the kids by bringing apples to class. They carved those apples to look like human heads. Week by week, they shriveled, turned brown, and became gross. This is what leprosy taught the Old Testament church. Sin was at work in their mortal bodies, leading them inevitably to the grave. But you already know that, don't you? Every which way you turn, there is sin in your thoughts, your words, your actions. You confess sins and you are oppressed by the thought that you're going to do them again. Like Paul says in Romans 7, you see at work in your mortal body sin, as if you were standing outside yourself and it was happening to somebody else. But you know you are the apple shriveling, browning, dying. A leper can produce thoughts of sinfulness, despair, hopelessness. So I offer you a different leper for you to think about. The Messiah leper. A Jewish tradition said that the Messiah, the Christ, would be a leper. Saint Jerome followed their interpretation. It was based on Isaiah 53 verse 4. "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted." The Hebrew word for leprosy has at its root the word for smitten. So the rabbi said smitten of God meant leprous. And you know, they're not that far off. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "God made Jesus to be sin." Actually, it's more pointed than that. It says, "Jesus, the one not knowing sin, in behalf of us, in place of us, sin was made." You've seen those movies where the police burst into a house at night, hauling away the man who has no idea of what he did. You've seen science fiction or wizard movies where a man is turned into something disgusting, yet still knows he's a man. These are the images called to mind by Scripture telling us Jesus, who did not know sin, was made to be sin. Those times you become disgusted with yourself because you lost your temper again, you lusted again, you worried again, you doubted again. Those times when your sense of sin became so intense that you called out with St. Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am." This is what Jesus bore in your place. This is how God would have you see Him hanging on the cross. Lift up your eyes off of you. Stop seeing your sins on your head, in your body, suffocating your soul. They are on Jesus on the cross. They are there so much so that God can see nothing but sin. God's creature, the Son, is so disgusted at that sight, it refuses to look for 3 hours. Can you see why a real recognition of what Jesus did for us could lead to the picture of Jesus as a leper, cast out from God and man? Unclean, unclean, he would have to cry before all, even as the leper did. He would be like that sin eater in backwoods America, or the scapegoat in the Old Testament church. Because he bore the sins of others, others shunned his company. Once the high priest put the church's sins on the scapegoat, it was led out into the wilderness. Once Jesus got the sins of the world on him at his baptism, he was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. Although the Messiah leper repels, he also draws. He draws lepers like himself. See how that man full of leprosy came to Jesus? Matthew shows him pushing through a crowd to get there. See how you are to hear about this Messiah leper? See how you are here to hear about this Messiah leper. An Anglican priest, after serving in the horrific trenches of World War I, wrote a poem which he titled, "Jesus of the Scars." It reads in part, "We must have thee, O Jesus of the Scars. To our wounds only God's wounds can speak, and not a God has wounds, but thou alone." An author studying the plague in medieval Europe wonders why the crucifix at Mount Lepau draws plague victims to it. It is a horrifying crucifix. The Christ is contorted in agony and covered with bleeding wounds. A purely rational observer might wonder how and why a community already full of tortured, suffering, and wounded people would want to look at such a dreadful image. But you don't wonder, do you? You sinful, dying, leprous people don't wonder. We preach Christ and Him crucified because that is the only thing that comforts sinners dying with guilt, shame, and repentance. As often as you eat His body and drink His blood, you do proclaim the Lord's death to each other, because only in His death is your life. We have to have thee, O Jesus of the Scars. We are drawn to the Messiah leper for this, for only this one will touch us in our uncleanness, even as He did the leper in the text. Think about the leper who was a dead man walking. Think about the Messiah leper. And think about the cleansed leper. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. A 1979 film titled Jesus, Through the Wonders of Special Effects, shows the wonder that was this miracle. Jesus reaches out his hand to a face that looks like raw hamburger, and instantly it is whole, it is clean, it is healthy, it is glowing. But the healing, you know, extended beyond the face. The flesh that was eaten away, the fingers and the toe joints that had dropped off, the raw sores that were spreading over the body were instantly restored, sound and whole. Think about it. A cleansed leper is a leper no more. Not to God, not to man, not to self. How foolish would it be for this man to have gone about dressed as a leper, calling out, unclean, unclean, acting as a leper? Wouldn't you have gone up to him and said, why are you doing this to yourself? Don't you know that you've been cleansed? Don't you know you are healed? Why do you persist on acting as if you weren't? But you know what? It wouldn't have been the end of the world if he had done that. What's far more serious is a forgiven sinner acting, living, suffering as if his or her sins were not forgiven them. That's a shame. That's a tragedy. That is saying Jesus didn't do what he said he did do. This is one of the reasons I'm not a fan of Alcoholics Anonymous and all her offspring. Because they teach people to introduce themselves at their meeting, I'm Paul and I'm an alcoholic. But I know what you're going to say. Don't we begin each divine service saying, I, a poor, miserable sinner? Yes, we do. And we remain sinners until we die. But we don't live in that first part of confession. In our catechism, we say that confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution, that is forgiveness, from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. The first part is done because of the second. We live in the second part, not the first part. We don't live in I'm a sinner. We live in I'm forgiven. Now you admit it would be tragic for a healed leper to go on living as if he were still a leper. It's worse for forgiven sinners to go on living as if he or she were still a sinner. That's what you're doing when you cut yourself off from the church by not hearing the word, by not swimming in your baptism, by not eating and drinking with your Lord. You are acting as if Jesus healed the leper and didn't send him back to church. And church, above all else, is what the leprosy prevented him from partaking of. He couldn't go into the temple with leprosy. He couldn't offer any of the sacrifices. Once healed, he could. Once forgiven, you can. I would think that from time to time, the leper fell back into his old habits. He thought and lived like the leper he had been for years. But then he looked at his skin. He saw no scabs, no disease, no leprosy. He remembered all over again. I'm healed. I'm restored. I don't have to live like a leper any longer. Take this leper for your thoughts. Learn from him when you fall back into thinking and acting like the lost sinner you once were. But you can't look at your healed body. If you look at your body, your heart, your mind, or soul, you're going to still see the sin and sinfulness, won't you? But I didn't point you there, did I? I pointed you to Jesus of the scars. That's where your sins are. That's where your sins are answered for, paid for, carried away. I didn't finish that quote from 2 Corinthians 5. It begins with Jesus, the one not knowing sin, in behalf of us, in place of us, sin was made. It ends with, in order that we should become the righteousness of God in him. That's not just food for thought. That's food for life. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.